So, Vedanta Sara, let's do the opening prayer.
Om Akandam Sachidanandam Avang Manasagocharam Atmanam Akiladharam Ashriye Dhishta Siddhaye Artatobhyadvayanandan Atita Dvaita Bhanataha Guru Naradhya Vedanta Saram Vakshe Yathamati.
So verse 172.
Sa tu.
Chit pratibimba sahita.
Chit pratibimba sahita.
Sati. Pratyak abhinnam.
Pratyak abhinnam.
Agnyatam. Param Brahma. Vishayikritya
Tad Gata Ajnanam
Eva Bhadite
Tada
Patra Karana
Tantudahe
Patra Dahavat
Akila Karane
Ajnane
Bhadite
Sati
Tatkaryasya
Akilasya
Bhaditatvat
Tadantar
Bhuta
Akandakara
Akarita
Chittavrittirapi
Bhadita
Bhavati.
Bhavati.
So this is, well, I'll just read this, follow along, I'll just read it, breaking the words a little better in Sandhi. Sa tu chit pratibimba sahita sati, these are all feminine endings, pratyak abhinnam agnyatam param brahma. Param brahma is neuter noun. It's an accusative here. So it's a neuter noun. So pratyagabhinnam agnyatam param brahma vishayikritya tad gata agnyanam eva badhate tada patra karana tantu dahe patra dahavat akila karane agnyane badhate Sati, tat karyasya akilasya bhaditatvat tad antar bhuta akanda akara akarita chitta vrittihi api bhadita bhavati. So this is beautiful. This is what we're really doing now is analyzing how knowledge takes place in the mind. What is actually going on in terms of the vritti? You have Brahman, the reality of your being. You have the chitta vritti. And then you have what is actually happening. How does this jnana vritti take place? That's what's being discussed here. So from the previous verse, it talked about how the chitta vritti arises. Right? The chitta vritti that has that akanda akara vritti. That jnana vritti arises in the mind. That's the previous verse. So now we're talking about the chitta vritti, where knowledge, the thought modification of the chitta, of the mind, chitta vritti. Okay? When we say thought modification, that's really a translation of antakarana for the thought modification. Antakarana vritti or chitta vritti. You know, vritti really, vritti means any type of an action or an activity is a vritti. But in reference to the mind, it's called a thought modification, right? So when we say chitta vritti means thought modification, modification of the mind, of the chitta. So chitta vritti, and it's feminine. Vritti is feminine, so vritti. So that chitta vritti saw that chit pratibimba sahita sati. Now this is that sati means that chitta vritti being. Sati, feminine, being, past active, present active participle, sati in the feminine, being sahita, read this compound backwards, being together with the along with sahita, the reflection, pratibimba of consciousness. So that chitta vritti, together with the reflection of consciousness. That's what we, chit, conscious, consciousness, pratibimba, reflection, sahita, together with. So being together with the reflection of consciousness. And I'll explain this, but let's just get the words for now, okay? So that, chitta vritti, being together with the reflection of consciousness. Now, pratyak abhinnam, that which is not different, abhinnam, right? Bhinna means divided or different. Not divided, not separate from, being not different from the pratyak. Pratyak here means the pratyagatma. So pratyak abhinnam, not different from the atma, the pratyagatma, the innermost self, that which is innermost, literally, being not divided or separate from that which is innermost. So when they say pratyak, in this context, it's pratyagatma, the pratyagatma, the innermost self. Ajñātam, which is not known. Jñātam is known, PPP, past passive participle. Ajñātam, which is not known, that which is not known. These are now accusative singulars. Param Brahma, Brahman, which is infinite. Param Brahman, Param Brahma, accusative singular. Vishayi kritya, having objectified. So now we have a partial sentence here. That, saw, means that, chitta vritti, having objectified param brahman, which is not known, ajñātam param brahman, which is pratyekabhinna, not different from the atma, which is abhinnam, not separate, not other than the pratyekatma. So having objectified, we'll see what that means, right? So that chitta vritti, being together with the reflection of consciousness of the chit, having vishayi kritya objectified param brahman, which is ajñātam, which is unknown, which is pratyekabhinnam, not different than the self. Okay, having done that, tad gata ajñānam eva badate. Having done that, it destroys badate, that chitta vritti destroys that very ajñānam eva, which is tadgata, means which is in reference to that, which is abiding there. So for the Brahman, the param Brahman, which is ajñātam, which is unknown, the chitta vritti, having objectified that, destroys that, the ignorance of that, which is abiding there for that Brahman, that param Brahman.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
A lot of this has to be explained. Oh, I have okay. to tell you how this works, okay? But for now, I just want you to understand the Sanskrit. Okay. The Sanskrit says, sa, that chitta vritti, together, which is together with the reflection of consciousness, being together with the reflection of consciousness, having objectified, made into an object, objectified param Brahman, which was not known, which is identical with the pratyagatma, mm-hmm. that chitta vritti, it destroys the ajñānam, the ignorance, which is abiding there in Brahman. Okay. I have to use a lot of different words to make this what we mean by this, but for now, just try to understand what they're saying.
Have we done vishaya kritya?
Yeah, having objectified.
Having objectified.
Yeah, having made into a vishaya.
Mm.
Right?
Having made vishaya is
an object, objectified, or made it into the content of the mind. Mm-hmm. Having made Brahman the content of the mind instead of an object.
Let me, vishaya.
Yeah, but if you think, if you take a word, any like any noun, and you put a form of kri or bu, either one, kri or bu. Kri means making, bu means becoming. Then you take the final vowel and make it into a long E. Okay? So you have vishaya, and then you're going to add this form of kri, and you go vishayi kri. So here the form of kri to do that they're using is kritya, which is a past passive participle. So having made into a vishaya, into the content of the mind. Okay? Having made it into the content of the mind, right? Then what happens? That destroys the ajñānam that was there in reference to Param Brahman, as the being non, the that destroys that ajnanam in reference to Param Brahman being the innermost self. You follow? Yeah, okay.
Which word is destroyed?
Bhadate.
Have we gotten to Tade?
No.
No.
Okay. Then, ta-da, then.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Okay. Let me tell you something first. Parta means a cloth, the word parta. Mm-hmm. Tantu means thread. Okay, so there's a cloth, and then there's the threads of the cloth. The threads are going to be the karana, the cause, the material cause of the pot, of the cloth, right? The cloth will be the karya, the effect. Okay? Really, there's nothing there but threads. But threads are the upadana karana, the material cause of the patta, of the cloth. Okay, so here it says, the cloth, Pata, kadana, cause, tentu, thread, dahe, burning. In the burning, read backwards, in the burning of the tentu, of the thread, which is the cause, the material cause, of the pata, of the cloth. So pata, kadana, tentu, dahe, in the burning, in locative singular, in the burning of the tentu, of the thread, which is the cause of the cloth. Patta, kadana, tentu, dahe. Then, patta, daha, vat. Vat means like. Like the burning of the daha, like the burning of the cloth. Patta, daha, vat. Like the burning of the cloth, when or in, the burning, I would say like this. It's like the burning of the cloth when the threads of the cloth, which are the cause of the cloth, are burnt, the cloth is burnt, right? So, like the burning of the cloth upon the burning of the threads, which are the cause of the cloth, right? Get it? Okay. Body to twat. No, wait. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Akila karane ajnane, when the ignorance, which is the cause, the karana, akila, of everything. Akila, everything. Akila karane ajnane, the bodhite sati, when the ignorance, which is the cause of everything, bodhite sati, when it is burnt, when it is being burnt, destroyed, when it is being destroyed. So when the ajnanam, which is the cause of everything, is being destroyed, body te sati, tet karyasya akilasya body te twat. Okay, now we have to read backwards. Body te twat, because of being destroyed, that twat is a fifth case, because of being, that twat, because of being body te, because of being destroyed. What is being destroyed? Because of the being destroyed of everything, which is the effect of that. Tet karyasya means the effect of that. Akila means everything. Because of everything being destroyed, which is an effect of that. Tet karyasya akilasya bodhitat twat. When is the karya, the effect, destroyed? When is the everything destroyed, which is an effect of the ajnanam? When is everything destroyed? Everything is destroyed when the ajnanam, which is the cause of everything, is destroyed. So if you destroy the cause, you destroy the effect, right? So just like when you burn the threads of a cloth, because the threads are the cause of the cloth, then the cloth is going to go also. So here, when you destroy the ajnanam, all of the effects of the ajnanam will also be destroyed. See it? Ted antarbhuta akanda akara karita chitta vrittihi api bhadita bhavati. Here, start at the last part. Chitta vrittihi, nominative singular, feminine. The chitta vritti also, api, itself, the chittavritti also is destroyed, it says. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? The chittavritti, which brings about the akanda akata, which is a modification, the chittavritti takes on the form. The chittavritti takes on akarita, it takes on the form of the akanda akara vritti, of that akata which is akanda, free of subject-object differentiation. So that's the akanda akara vritti, is just, it takes on the form, the content. What fills that vritti now is non-dual, no subject-object duality at all. So when the chitta vritti takes on as its very content that akanda akara vritti, means there's no subject-object differentiation, when that happens, the chitta vritti itself, you know, is destroyed. Right? So becomes, when we use body to, that means becomes mitya. Okay? It destroys itself. It's not like when Brahman is recognized and the chitta vritti stays as real. The content, everything, the chitta vritti and everything, the chitta vritti belongs to everything else because chitta vritti exists within duality. So when the content of, when the chitta vritti has for its content the akanda akara vritti, then the chitta vritti along with the rest of the creation becomes mitya. Now, let me talk a little bit about this. When we use the word bodhita, technically, that means to, can mean in one sense, to totally destroy is bodhita. But when we use it in Vedanta, it means to sublate. It means the reality of that thing is no longer. It means it's reduced to mitya. So say, because you no longer take it to have any independent real existence. So bodhita means its whole order of reality has changed. It becomes mitya. So what they're saying here is this chitta vritti, when knowledge takes place, so the pramana is functioning, the chitta vritti, then what happens is this chitta vritti, which itself is enjoying consciousness, because it's sattva, right, as though enjoys consciousness, when that chitta vritti is directed through lakshana, through the teaching methodology, to become, to gain an akanda akara vritti, which means that the content of the vritti now is no longer something that is an objectification of it, is objectified. What is objectified in the akanda akara vritti is the subject itself, right? Because the content of the vritti now is not anything objectifiable within duality. Mm-hmm. So the content of the vritti now is the very subject. And so now you have the subject, Brahman, illumining the vritti, which has only for its content Brahman, right? And so there is no subject-object duality there because the subject is illumining the vritti whose content is only the subject, right? So there's a total negation of that time, at that time, mm-hmm. of the subject-object duality. And so then, when that takes place, where I recognize my own nature, minus any of the objectification, minus any of the mitya, I recognize myself as this atma, this me, I recognize it to be non-dual Brahman, because that's what I have the direct, immediate recognition of that without the perception of any object at all. And so when that happens, when the mind comes back and we're talking about it, then what it recognizes is that the very vritti itself, the chitta vrittis themselves, the antakarana, is as much a part of mitya as everything else that I perceive. Because the vrittis themselves are objectifiable, they're changing, they're coming into being and going out of being. So the very vritti, which releases me from the samsara, which releases me from ajnanam, is thrown into the fire, along with everything else.
Because it is also a vritti.
Yeah, it's a vritti. It's a vritti. And a vritti is sattva, rajas, and tamas. It belongs to the creation.
Okay, are we saying... I'm sorry, my Sanskrit is so lousy, but without the tenses and everything. So a vishaya is an object that is held in the mind. It's a thought. It's a cognition. I know it can be an object in the universe as well, correct?
It has many, many meanings.
Okay.
But here, when we're talking about the vritti, what is the content of the vritti? Like, say, if I'm using my eyes and I'm looking at that painting, the painting becomes the vishya, the subject matter, the content of the vritti. If I'm looking at this, this becomes the content of the vritti. So whatever is filling the vritti, right, that is the vishya.
And what about chitta?
So when I say a chitta vritti,
yeah,
that's just like an antakarana vritti. That's the mental vritti that's taking place.
So that's the process. It's
No.
I'm trying to find the difference between vishya and chitta.
Yeah. We're used to just saying vrittis, right? But the word vritti just means actions or activity. So the full word to mean a thought modification is antakarana vritti or chitta vritti. It means the activity of the mind, which we translate as a thought modification. So all chitta means there is the thought modification, the modification of the chitta, the modification of the antakarana, the activity of the mind. Those are thought, the activity of the mind are vrittis, thought modifications. So chitta here doesn't mean consciousness or anything like that, it just means mind. So this when we have a chitta vritti, when we have a thought modification, and the thought modification is now of the self, because the mind, the teaching is directing the mind with viveka and through the whole teaching methodology for the mind to differentiate conscious being, the very subject, from everything that can be objectified. The mind then itself, the vritti, which is enjoying consciousness, focuses only on the consciousness. When the focus is only on the consciousness, then you have consciousness illumining consciousness with nothing in between. Because consciousness is the ultimate nature of the pratyagatma, the ultimate nature of the subject. And so when that happens, a person recognizes, I am limitless, non-dual consciousness. You see your own being stripped of all of these upadis that you used to identify with. So when that chitta vritti takes place, it's called an akanda akara vritti. There's no subject-object differentiation now, because all that is there is the subject. Because the subject has been made into the content of the mind. Instead of, usually the mind's thinking about this, thinking about that, perceiving this, perceiving that. The mind is taking on all types of thought modifications, all within duality. But what about with the teaching, the mind is directed toward its very self, the very being which it enjoys. When that takes place, then the only experience that is there is just the experience of the subject without any thought modification of any type of object. So there's no subject-object differentiation. At that time, you recognize the freedom of your own being, and that your being is really not associated in any way with any type of subject-object relationship, anything that can be objectified. So when that knowledge takes place, when that's recognized, the very vritti, the very mind, which is recognized as an object of knowledge, right? It belongs to mitya. It's always changing, it's always coming and going. There's a subject-object relationship with it. It itself, the mind itself, is illumined, right? There's subject-object. That illumined nature, that it's illumined, it's an objectified, means that it exists within duality, it's mitya. And so that's the bodhita. So the reality of the mind also is negated. The very mind that gave you knowledge, in the sense of the very mind in which the ajnanam was removed, was negated, that very mind is negated along with the ajnanam.
But it negates itself, right? Who else can negate it?
It negates itself. The knowledge negates it.
But then what happens?
It's bodhita. Bodhita means it becomes mitya. You recognize the difference between satyam and mitya. What happens is that there's no self-ignorance left. And the mind is still there. As long as you have a body-mind sense, as long as you have prarabdha karma, this body will continue functioning because it's part of Ishvara. It's been, because of ajnanam, the ajnanam of the jiva, it's been born again, but now it's existing in Ishvara. It's not your subjective reality, so it continues.
Is it, so it's just that the thoughts, the vrittis are recognized as such.
as mithya. They don't stop. Yeah, they're just mithya. You recognize them as mithya, and you differentiate, you can now differentiate clearly, cleanly, the changeless nature of your being, because it's been. It's like if I had a red-hot iron ball and you didn't know the difference of the two, and I pull them apart. Here's fire, here's iron. Put them back together, and now you see the fire along with the iron. So now you recognize, once you've recognized yourself, now you recognize yourself along with the thought modifications where that differentiation didn't used to be there.
But making that differentiation, isn't that only possible through the mind
yeah.
vrittis? I mean, you're just, what you're identifying is that there's this one special kind of vritti, a khandakara vritti, from all the other vrittis.
Yeah, it's a special type
it's
of vritti.
It's not like you don't have them anymore, or that you experience the self without vrittis, because the mind can't experience anything without vrittis, right?
No, now that's a little mistake. You're fine,
okay.
You're fine almost,
okay.
Up until this one point. The reason the self can experience itself but not in subject-object relationship is because it is consciousness itself. It is the fundamental non-dual experience that is never not there. That's why we don't really call it as an experience, because when we use the word experience, it's experience of something, right? But the self is not a non-experience. It's self-evident. So it doesn't require the universe for its self-evident nature to shine. It is known. Because it is the very nature of knownness itself.
I think it sounds very
much like
me.
You.
And the reason for this the reason for this
you're
is that
the
that the I also used to say I am distinguishing myself. It's not that the mind can only distinguish itself as being a part. The mind cannot say I am not. You know, the mind can only sort of distinguish itself apart from the self. Right, the mind can only label itself. The mind can't label the self. The mind can label the mind, but the mind can't label the self. Right? Sorry, I'm rambling.
It can label the self as Brahman. Right? It can say it because it's differentiated its objectifiable nature from
yes.
the one that is changeless, and it can give a name to that one who is changeless because it's recognized that it's differentiated itself from that which
right.
is self-shining.
But that leads to a little objectification of the self, right?
No. Well, yes, from the standpoint of the mind, it leads to the objectification of itself and realizing the objectification of the self is the recognition that that self is self-shining and objectifying it. But we will get back to this. We have a few more verses on it. I'll spend a lot of time on it. One more.
Is this where the spotlight metaphor comes in? Like all of these different vrittis, I don't know if this is what that applies to. But then there's the one that, like, you're searching around the spotlight through all of
the
vrittis.
When I use that one,
you hit on the,
no, that spotlight
okay,
vritti is just to show that the mind, that the teaching itself is like a spotlight blasting through all the different agnanams, ignorances that are there.
Oh, I see.
But there's another metaphor that is kind of, I thought, what you meant. It's like if you look at a movie projector. And the film is going through. The film is seen because of the light of the projector. But the light itself doesn't require the film strip.
What is a sakshi for me?
Sakshi?
Yeah.
Sakshi is when we're doing drik drisha viveka, that see or seen differentiation.
That one's coming to this.
Well, it does only in the sense of when you differentiate what you had always thought to be, what is the sakshi. What is, in fact, the truth of the Sakshi is pure conscious being. Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is my little hobby horse, but I just want to be sure. So the chitta vritti is a thought modification or the activity of the mind.
Yeah, thought
right?
modification.
And a visaya is the content of the thought.
Yes.
Okay.
That's perfect. That's right. Whatever that may be. And now in the teaching, that visaya becomes Brahman.
Right.
The identity of the Atma with Brahman.
So then, what happens to the I notion? Is it still kind of...
The I notion is there as mithya, remains there as mithya. Like if you say, if I say I'm going to the store, I'm not going to change my language and say the body is walking to the store, the mind is thinking, the eyes are seeing. We use the word I to label all of these different things, but we know what we're doing. Otherwise, it would be very awkward, wouldn't it?
The little wrong identifications... they remain also? Or
no.
No.
It's that you know what you mean. You're using the even now, even without knowledge, you say, I am thinking, I'm walking to the store, you know, I'm not feeling well. The eye is landing on all kinds of different things, right? But it's not landing on Brahman, on yourself, until you know that. So then, in fact, they say, once you know yourself, you're never using the eye for Brahman unless you're teaching. How are you going to be using the eye for Brahman? The eye always lands on you. You know yourself as Brahman, but if I'm talking with you, unless I'm teaching, what am I going to be using?
So you shouldn't expect that, then, to the eye to be landing on Brahman when you're walking all around in the daytime.
No, that's not what I said. What I said was, if I'm teaching, if I'm not teaching and I'm talking with you, I'm not going to be talking, you know. How would I use Brahman? I as Brahman. I'm really Brahman, but I really am Brahman, but you know, I, the body, am walking to the store. When I say I am walking to the store, I mean the body is walking to the store, but I am really Brahman. I'm going to say anything like that? What am I going to say? It's silly. It's totally silly. But that doesn't mean that I'm not always Brahman. I'm always Brahman, even if I'm walking to the store. If I say I'm walking, the body is walking to the store, right?
But then you also say the store is Brahman.
The store is Brahman. Everything is Brahman.
Yeah.
That's right. But this type of talking we don't do in the world. And Vedanta should, this is another thing, Swamiji's talk like this. Vedanta is not table talk. It's just not table talk. Vedanta is a serious teaching for mumukshus and for us when we're in here. It's a very sacred thing. It's not something that you're just having a casual conversation with people about. That's not what it is. You can talk, you should, if somebody really wants to know and they ask you and you're inclined to really talk seriously to them, then that's beautiful. But it's not table talk. It's not simple.
It's not even fair to do to people because you get them confused about their own.
Yeah, it's not appropriate. It's just not appropriate. It's very sacred. This is the most sacred teaching. You know, that's how it's viewed in England, in India. There's nothing more sacred. It has to be handled like that. It's not to. It's meant for mumukshus. Yeah. And the mumuksha, person's mumuksha, they will always find their teacher. That's also, you need to have some shraddha in that. You know. Otherwise you get into trouble, you know. Swamiji got to where he is really because of Swami Chinmayananda taking it out to all of the people, you know. And then you're teaching to 5,000 people. Swamiji teaching 5,000-10,000 people. But he's really only teaching to like 10 people in the front rows. That's what it is, you know. So you can get a big mess for yourself unless you're some sort of jagat guru, which I consider that for Swamiji.